Welcome to Feats and Fables. We appreciate your company as we delve into our 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons actual play podcast. Join the conversation on social media at Feats and Fables.
And don't forget to follow us to adventure.
Previously, on Feats and Fables, the heroes scaled Mount Waterdeep to acquire an indecipherable prophecy from a monk named Halam. On the way there, they saw a dragon swimming around in the harbor. As a reward for their excellent work, the Blackstaff has directed Khafra to go see what the dragon is about.
Zasper, perhaps you should lead the charge on speaking to this creature. Just remember, we're here to find out what its intentions are and make sure, well, if it is attacking, planning to attack the city, we'll inform the Blackstaff and be on our way.
Yes, if it's a danger, we need to know.
Yes. And yes. Whatever you do, leave out any references to pants, won't you?
Well, dragons don't really understand pants. They're not really enthusiastic with the whole clothing thing most of the time.
I'm just saying, any references to pants seems quite unnecessary in this point, this context.
The dragon raises a forepaw. I will take that other raises one finger.
Yes, my good fellow. Maybe we approach. We have business from the city with you.
A couple of things.
Yes.
I'm not actually a fellow, and I know full well what pants are.
No, I'm sure that you overheard our discussion. We're talking pants in more of a context of naming adventuring bands. We are the Scarecrow Smashing Lads. We are all lads. I'm sorry that I mistook you. We got bad intelligence from the Blackstaff on your gender.
The dragon tilts its head fully sidewise on its sinuous neck and says, "What does that have to do with pants?"
Well, we actually ran across a situation where we needed to get attired for some shenanigans we were getting up to, but the only clothing store open at 3 a.m. was a very derelict one, so we had to make do with what we had, and quite frankly, we looked ridiculous.
At this point, Manny is just full-on face-palming.
Khafra has joined Manny in full-on
face-palming. So for a while, we were known to the whole city as the band of the misfitting pants.
Dragon's eyes narrow and its head tilts even more like a confused terrier. Mm-hmm. Oh, I see, it says in a tone that indicates it does not see at all. What brings you to my rock? And it kind of stretches up a little more and kind of moves its feet back and forth. It's not a large rock, it's only about 15 feet across. It's just enough to tear the bottom out of a boat. It's not really land at all.
And this dragon, is it the size of the rock?
It's about 10 or 15 feet long.
All right. Well, as you are no doubt aware, the activities of dragons are the interest of pretty much everyone. So we were sent here just to talk to you and find out why you were gracing the harbor of Waterdeep with your presence.
I am gracing the harbor with my presence because when I flew in a couple of weeks ago, I bounced off an invisible shield and about knocked myself out and then fell into the harbor, and then I saw her. And the dragon gestures with a gracile claw kind of behind it to the side off into the water, pointing downward into the water.
I must confess that my eyes are not as good as yours.
Well, what is her?
Yes, is there a dragon down there, a second one?
It gives you kind of a weird look. No, it's a boat. There's a shipwreck down there.
Oh, well, I'm sure it's...
Why is it of such interest to you?
Because, well, I really shouldn't say anything.
No, please.
Don't worry, you can tell us. I mean, what are we going to do? I mean, we're not going to take it from you or anything.
You're not going to take it from me.
I have no desire to do anything.
Why would we ever want to do anything like that?
If anything, we would love to assist you in whatever it is you have to do with the boat that is far away from the city.
At this point, I didn't think that Manny could facepalm anymore, but now I'm double hand facepalming. Yep.
You may have inspiration point from a double facepalm.
Kafra feels a strange sense of accomplishment for making Manny facepalm doubly.
When you mentioned helping the dragon, its long, sinuous neck straightens out, so it's only about 2 feet away from your head. It says, "You'll help?"
I take a step towards Kafra.
Yes.
Excellent. You see, there's rather some parts in there that I'm having trouble getting to. My shape changing is still a work in progress, and some parts are rather narrow.
Well, I do know a thing or two about being a little too large to fit into certain accoutrements.
Kafir reaches down and adjusts his pants a little bit.
Can't you simply rend the wreck asunder to get to what you're going after? It's a wooden ship, is it not?
Well, yes. It's mostly held together by barnacles these days, but I didn't want to destroy it. It's rather pretty. Plus, if I destroy it, then it's just going to be digging through bunches and bunches and bunches and bunches of wooden timbers while every different critter in there wants to take a piece of me.
So what are you looking for inside the ship? What is your goal?
The dragon kind of tilts its head to the other side and looks at you sadly, as if you must be the slow one in the group. For treasure, gold.
Betty has a quiet thought.
Maybe I'm not the dumb one, he says.
I see. Monetary wealth.
Yes, there's treasure in the shipwreck. Frankly, I think sometimes when boats leave this direction, they just dump stuff over the edge, right over where the ship is.
Have you heard of the goddess? I believe her name is Umberly?
No. Should I have?
Well, she is the god of the sea. So, yes? Although she may be a human god. They are making offerings to her, and I've heard that she's quite finicky about people taking them.
Let me get this straight. And it sits up and kind of like counts on its large claws. There's a human goddess of the sea, and you humans worship it by taking your hoard and throwing it overboard into the ocean where anybody else can get it.
Yes.
The dragon looks at you all like you're kind of slow.
I think she's not the nicest of goddesses, and I think she views it as something of a game. There's all this treasure glittering on the floor of the ocean that anyone can reach, and if they do, it gives her something to do for a week or so, as she smites them. Now, you don't sail around on boats, so she probably would find it more difficult to inconvenience you, but she might take that as a challenge. I mean, you can do what you wish, but the Scarecrow Smashing Lads will not accept a commission to take treasure from the goddess. However, you
mentioned that is not that taking from the wreck.
That's...
Sorry.
My friend makes a good point. If it's salvage from a sunk ship that was not offered Umberly, that would be no problem.
You could keep the sharks off.
With the what?
The sharks?
Yes.
I mean,
sure.
We could fight sharks.
I had a mate once who punched a shark.
But I thought your problem was that you couldn't get into the wreck. I would imagine sharks would pose no difficulty for you.
It kind of moves around so you can see it. And on the back of one of its flank, you see several rows of jagged teeth marks on its hind flanks.
I will not laugh.
So you wish for us to go down there and defeat these sharks and return any valuables from the wreckage?
Well, if you could either keep the sharks off, or I can keep them off. It's just a matter of how... There's so many of them, and then one bites me, and then another one shows up. There's a breath weapon, and underwater it works kind of weird, and yeah, I get splashed back on the electrical, and... But if you could go into the wreck and get into the parts that I can't squeeze into, that would be nice, too.
If you distract the sharks, we can probably do that.
taps a claw against its chin where it has kind of a large black horn, like a frill of large black horns in its yellowy green skin. All right. How do I know if you're not going to take my treasure?
There's a technique fishermen use where they scatter the fish parts in the water to attract the sharks. We could go buy you some, and you could fly like a league or so that way, drop in the water. All the sharks will go that way, and then our path down to the boat should be relatively clear.
Oh, I wouldn't need to buy fish parts. I can come up with those on my own.
Well, that's true.
As to your other question, is how can you trust us? We're the Scarecrow Smashing Lads. Of course we're trustworthy.
Exactly.
Just ask anyone in the city.
All this being said, though, you found this spot of good chance, this wreck, after you bounced off our inconvenient dragon barrier that is horrible for trade. But what was your
bit? I was a little surprised. I didn't know that was a thing.
Yes. I'm sure they're working on it, way above our pay grade. But what brought you to the fair city?
I was curious. Mm-hmm. I'm not that experienced, and I wanted to travel. I have come from areas much farther south, much warmer. Mm-hmm. And I saw the city and thought I would alight and see if there were any of my kind around, and there are probably, well, they're most certainly not. Mm-hmm. Why can't I fly into the city?
Well, I think they had a spot of bother a few centuries ago with evil dragons, and they were just like, well, let's just block all the dragons, even though, you know, you're so nicely color-coded for people. And then they never turned it off after the war was over. The Archwizard probably got or something.
Yeah, I don't think they know how to turn it off at this point.
Mm. Mm. Otherwise, I'm sure they would. It is rather impolite.
Right, but you have no worry for us taking your treasure, right? We wish to go down and retrieve it for you, so you may make your way on to places that are more hospitable, perhaps, to dragons. We do not mean to be inhospitable, but with the shield and all, we have little control.
Yes. Mm,
all right. It is a very lovely ship. I mean, I kind of was thinking maybe once I got somewhat larger and had a proper lair, I could maybe take it back there, reassemble it. It's got some really nice barnacle growth on it.
That sounds like an excellent plan. Mm,
mm-hmm. I could maybe grow oysters on it.
Mm. Oysters are delicious.
I don't try to think that anyone in the city is going to miss a sunken ship.
Right, so perhaps we should begin implementing this plan.
Well, yes. Of course. Perhaps we should know your name before we engage
in... Oh, I'm so sorry. Human customs are so weird. I'm still learning them, really. My name is Zelifarn. Well... I'm called Zelifarn. That's not really my name. You can't pronounce it in the human tongue. It just doesn't have the right morphology of the mouth and larynx, but Zelifarn will do.
Zelifarn, what were you thinking our end would be in this endeavor?
Well, I wouldn't think you would end in this endeavor. I assume you'd be quite safe.
Well, we would be willing to give you first pick of the treasures, of course, but perhaps we could take a third or a quarter of it for our troubles.
The dragon's eyes narrow. Its posture shifts.
Well, the crux of it is we can accomplish this mission for you, but we're going to have to use these water-breathing potions that are very hard to come by. So we would have to get something pretty significant to justify the expenditure.
Yes, and beyond the hard costs, there of course is just our simple labor. So it should be worth something to us. And certainly the money isn't worth anything to you down there where you can't get to it.
Well, I could tear the boat apart. I didn't want to because it's a pretty boat.
I see. How much is that worth to you, that mm-hmm. boat being intact then?
It looks decidedly unhappy about the idea of sharing its hoard.
Don't forget, you get first pick, so we will get only the boring treasures.
This is simply the cost of preserving that beautiful boat, mm-hmm. which would cause you some heartache if you had to tear it apart. So if you just simply put a numerical value on that, then we could say that is worth our time, and we could come to a mutually beneficial end, or we can just go our separate ways.
I would require a deception check from you, and here's why. You were given the potions with the express idea that they would be used to talk to the dragon.
We achieved our objective. So at this point, from our point of view, they'd be ours to keep, or we would, maybe if we were super goody two shoes, would give them back to the Blackstaff. Which doesn't fit our party's MO. So to us, by succeeding without using all the resources, our end of the Blackstaff mission right now is these super sweet water breathing potions.
Except you haven't succeeded?
Yeah, we did. Our goal was to find out what the dragon wanted, if it was going to attack the city.
It was not to get the dragon to leave. That was not our goal.
Okay, fair.
Like, we have fulfilled our end of the bargain, which is found out dragon can't get into town, want something from underneath the waves. That's what you wanted to know, Blackstaff.
I also think specifically our objective was just to talk to the dragon.
And this is what we're doing now, isn't it? But deception, sure. I'm going to claim the point of inspiration that I'm pretty sure I had at the end of last round anyways. So, or I have support from my fellows.
All right.
That would be a natural 20.
Or
a rolled 20, basically.
Fair. The dragon narrows their eyes at you like it's not sure.
Would I lie to you?
Well, I assume so.
Yes, but in this instance.
Looks at you and says, I can't tell if you're lying or not. Mammals.
I know.
You can be assured that we wish to help you as best we can, but we will have to make use of these items to help you.
Mm-hmm. So there's a cost. And beyond that, there's something of value that you wish, which is to obtain the gold and to preserve the boat.
1/20th of the value.
A fine person such as yourself could probably be inclined to part with...
I'm not actually a person, I'm a dragon.
I'm speaking generally. Mm. Could be inclined to perhaps part with a quarter.
A quarter?
Yes, a quarter.
I found this. I'm going to be the one taking, making sure the sharks don't come over here.
Yes, this is true. And our bard here will sing your praises.
It's true.
All the bars in Waterdeep. Think of how beautiful of a story that would be. Mm-hmm. Every single pub here will hear your name.
What do I care if monkeys are singing about me?
This is true, but, you know, there are a lot of dragons that are spoke of ill in town. And if you'd like them to be spoken of well, perhaps a story like this would go down well.
It doesn't look like it's buying it. It looks like it's very interested in keeping more of the treasure for itself. So I will take another persuasion roll to see if you can get it to change its mind.
Manny at this point's just sipping on his flask.
Does anyone else have any thoughts that would perhaps be... persuasive in this.
There's a middle ground. I mean, you asked for a full quarter.
Perhaps a fifth then.
Yes, I mean, there's five of us, so a fifth makes sense.
I think a shift in our position merits an advantage. That is a 20. Oh, sorry, an 18. My persuasion is not quite as good as my deception.
Surprise.
Hey.
Zelifarn thinks a minute and says, 4/20ths. A fifth. Hmm?
Yes.
Yeah.
Think of how much more inclined we will be to work hard to bring up every last bit from the depths there.
And don't forget, you get to choose first pick.
Yes, anything of...
First pick by weight? Well, first pick by item?
By rough value. So if we bring it up and there's a chest full of mundane coins, an elaborate, beautiful scepter that's worth 200, you could have the scepter as 200, even though it is more beautiful than
some
the normal
sort of
coins.
Sculpture. Or
yes.
Whatever.
I mean, we don't even know what it is. That's why first pick is so valuable.
Hmm.
It could be useless if we go in and it is literally nothing but 5,000 identical silver coins.
It depends on what you're, if you're merely interested in the monetary value, that is fine. But if you have items of artistic interest there that pique your interest, I don't know you that well. Perhaps that's something that you would favor.
Dwarf, there's magic items down there. Ooh. Then first pick is of inestimable value.
If you find any books down there, you must bring them up carefully in your little tiny soft hands.
So that is what—that is something that you are interested in.
If there are books, yes.
I see. Well, that is good than anything else.
Well, I mean, gold, magic items, gems, pearls would be nice.
Pearls. Everyone hear that? Pearls.
Yes. Pearls.
Yes. Pearls, yes.
Pearls.
Any particular types of books that you're interested in? Topics?
Erotica.
Fiction, nonfiction, erotica. Erotic nonfiction.
Perhaps if we're at an agreement, we should begin the process.
That is true. We live such short lives.
That's certainly true.
Except for this drow over here, and that's why he keeps talking.
I'm just making interest.
All right. Well, I will go throw fish parts in the ocean away from here.
It would certainly help us.
Which does, in fact, help you.
We are together on this one.
It looks decidedly nervous about the fact that you will be handling a treasure which the dragon believes is their own.
Does it manage to hold its nerves steady, or does it want to call it off?
It looks at you one last time, somewhat suspiciously, and then takes wing. It circles around this area of the pinnacle of rock and the wreck and the exterior harbor wall once or twice, and then dives into the water. As it does, you can see a fin pop up a little ways away. And it makes a lot of splashing and noise in the water, and then takes off back out of the water and flies a little ways away, dives back in the water, and when it comes up, it's got a big fish in its claws. And it proceeds to like tear it up into bits and kind of rain pieces of dead fish into the water. Finn moves that.
I believe that's our sign.
So Manny's gonna stand up and cork his flask as tight as he can and take off his shirt.
I will also doff most of my clothing. I'll keep my shirt on, though.
Kafra keeps his shirt on when he dives, because he's self-conscious.
It's okay.
Kafra is never nude.
I'm more worried about being cut up by all the coral bits and stuff. There are barnacles.
I'm not entirely certain. A little bit of cloth like that's going to keep you safe, though.
Well, if the choice is having a bit of cloth between me and the barnacle and not, I choose the former.
Nah, you always want to lose it, though. That way you know exactly where your body's at and you can avoid it.
We'll try it both ways.
Fair enough.
Bottoms up.
All right.
Malagar seems to be naked without having actually removed his clothing.
And I take out another flask and empty it into mine, and down it goes.
I wouldn't have recommended that, but very well. Here's the hoping the dragon's got good instincts, because we're drinking a whole lot of expensive potion.
Is to swim in with bow-legged women.
And then leave my empty flask behind.
The potions taste like diluted seawater.
Yeah.
Not mine. So you have kind of a faint, bright, well, yours does not. Have a faint, briny taste. In each potion, there's a few bubbles, and one of them is suspiciously shaped like a small jellyfish. And it kind of wiggles as it goes down your gullet into your stomach.
Oh, that is quite lovely.
Now, once the dragon pointed it out to us, could we see the wreck also?
Mm-hmm. Okay. You can see just kind of a dark shape under the water.
Well, we'll grab our diving stones and go down.
Kafra will turn to the person that, watching Zasper leap over, will turn to the person who boat us out here and be like, so how long are you staying here for? Because it would rather chap my ass were you to not be here when we return.
Are you kidding? I'm going to be drinking for weeks on this story.
Great.
I leap off the boat into the water.
Make sure this stays dry. Sits down. It's a spell book and then thinks about it and puts it in an oil pouch and
ties it tight and then sets it back down.
I also jump into the water with a beautiful dive.
Kasploosh.
So we're really doing this, huh?
Yep. I'm securing my crossbow bolts, but I'm actually well prepared for being in this water.
Yes, the good news is those work rather well underwater.
They do. It's an unexpected bonus.
Kaffer's going to look over the edge of the boat and then...
You see the southbound end of a northbound paladin of Kelimbor as he swims down.
As it gets a little deeper, I pull out my shiny stone.
Mm. Ah, he can't see in the dark.
Nope.
So you're sort of like one of those pilot fish with the glowy thing.
Yeah. A little bit.
He's attempting to attract fish to us.
Mm. So the water's relatively clear. Here it's about 50 to 70 feet deep, depending on where the bottom is exactly. But the water's really cold when you jump in. Like, it is really cold. And it is a shock, even in late summer, being in the waters off Waterdeep.
We should have lubed ourselves up with bear fat. If only
we had planned ahead.
It would have added to the cost quite a bit, though.
Yes. So as you are swimming down, it's really cold. And then after you get about 20 feet down, it is super cold. And I would like a constitution saving throw from everyone. Hmm.
Paige, I'm going to go ahead and give you my inspiration points.
All right.
Use that appropriately.
I have a 15.
You are fine. It is cold, but you have light in your heart.
Zasper gets a full 8.
Kaffer has a 14.
I've got a 16.
You're fine.
Malagar is an 18.
An 18? Malagar is fine. Holy wow, Zasper, this is cold. You have become one large, kind of tensed up goosebump.
Are you quite well?
It's cold. We should have greased ourselves up with bear fat.
You may have a level of exhaustion.
So hey, excellent.
That's actually a
really I'm not good talking question. To the dragon when we get out, my friends.
That's actually a really good question. When we open our mouths to speak underwater, what comes out?
Magic talk.
It sounds a little bit, but you can talk underwater. I'm not going to ask everyone to do this with their mouth, because otherwise people will hate us.
I swim down the ship.
I just sink with my diving rock.
Okay.
Kaffer will also just kind of sink and then kind of doggy paddle over there, because Kaffer doesn't actually swim.
Manny is going to stroke down as well.
Yeah, so sinking is sufficient because you don't have to worry about drowning. As the wreck comes into the view, you can see it's an old wooden boat. When I say old, the style is not similar to how most boats in the harbor are now. Like, the shape of the gunwales are different, the shape of the hull is different. The masts are broken off, the body of the ship is broken in half. And part of it is kind of mashed over the other. And you can see it's encrusted with barnacles and green algae that grows in strips that float up towards the light. As you get there, you can see a variety of bright red and yellow fish that kind of scatter as you come up. And there's all kinds of small critters crawling around on the decks in the wood. What would you like to do?
I'm going to see if I can't perceive a entrance into the hull of any sort.
So the ship is broken in half, and one half is kind of slightly on top of the other one, so you can swim into that. It's kind of narrow. It's maybe like a 5-foot gap. That's plenty of room for you.
I'll kind of point it out to everyone.
As a qualified deep sea sort, what kinds of hazards would I expect there to be down here?
Make me a what kind of hazards would I expect to see down here roll.
That is a 19 on my survival.
All right, so a shipwreck like this, in addition to you, he really is, like, his dice are amazing. In addition to all the normal dangers presented by a shipwreck, such as getting lost in the wreck,
crushed by things
if the wreck should shift. This wreck presents habitat. So the ocean floor here is mostly rocky.
Ah.
So this has got an opening that things can go into and hide from other things. So you would expect animals to use it as shelter. In this area, you might find large lobsters, anywhere from eaten size to 3 or 4 feet long.
Eating you size.
Correct. You might find large fish that camouflage themselves to look like lichen-covered, or not lichen, but coral-covered rocks, yes. Barnacle-covered rocks, that just kind of open their mouth, like, suck people in. You might expect moray eels.
That's unpleasant.
Yep.
Well, and of course, anything that might feed on this bounty.
Yes. This wouldn't, like a shark wouldn't lair in here, and nor would sea lions be around here.
There might be an orca inside, though.
An orca inside would be unlikely in your estimation.
Anyways, I share this bounty information like this.
So you're saying it's dangerous?
Possibly.
And anything can attack us at any time?
Anything.
Excellent.
Don't turn your back on anything for a minute, and, you know, make sure that you can see in the pitch black.
Well, in that case, Manny's going to go ahead and take his Stone of Light and kind of toss it into the opening.
Okay. Floosh, 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 plop. It lands on a part of an exposed deck, and you can see kind of a jumble of skeletons.
Ew.
As the light lands, a bunch of fish scatter out of the way, and several crabs kind of slowly move. The skeletons are old. I mean, well, they're clean.
They're not,
they have barnacles growing on them.
Not wearing lightly used diving equipment.
No. And when I say a jumble, it's probably 30 skeletons. It's a lot of bones.
That is a lot of bones.
That's actually, a lot of bones, yes.
Kind of a terrifying number of bones.
I swim into the ship.
I'll follow shortly behind him.
Certainly.
Kafra's going to hang back a little bit and look at the ship and think of all of the books that he's read about boats and ships and being on boats and ships and sailors and stuff. And it's gonna try to think of where where the captain's quarters would be, because that's where the nicest stuff would be, is his estimation, and then where the cargo hold would be most secure for putting yar booty.
Okay, make me a I know things about boats roll.
I will make a history check and I will have a 17.
Okay. So you can tell by the way the ship is lying that the fore end, which is the front of the boat.
Don't you lie to me!
The prow, perhaps?
The prow. Is pointing in a certain direction, and you think the captain's quarters would be in the aft, the opposite direction. So that's kind of on that side of the ship.
The stern.
What direction did they just swim off towards?
Towards the middle.
That's where it's broken, isn't it?
Yeah, it's broken in the middle. The cargo hold would be in the middle on the bottom deck, or one up from the bottom deck.
Corbin, as we're swimming in, I turn around and say, why is Kafra now wearing a pirate hat?
What?
Because I feel like he just took off his hat and put on a pirate hat.
Yar, matey.
Yeah. So what greets our eyes as we enter the hold?
So in addition to this jumble of skeletons, as soon as you kind of duck under the hull of the ship, you can see a glitter of gold and silver.
Did we bring any sort of containers?
Bags, you mean my backpack?
Ah, yes, your backpack. It has never felt this before.
We brought a paladin, you see?
Yes. We will begin filling our paladin with gold.
All right, you find mostly silver coins, not of Waterdeep minting.
We're not picky.
Fair enough, I am just letting you know. As well as gold coins. How long are you gonna stay and pick up coins? Like at the end of 10 minutes, there's still more to be picked up.
I think some of us should pick up coins and others of us should search for more interesting treasure.
I'm relatively good at noticing things, so perhaps I should search around.
That's true.
As am I, so I will.
I'll also take a look around.
All right, well then, I will gather coins here then. It's boring, but someone should do it.
All of you perceptive people should go that way towards where the captain's quarters would be.
Very well. I head in that direction.
And then after we have scouted everything out and made sure it's safe, I will go through and check for any magic items.
Very well.
So Malagar, Corbin, and Manny head off to where theoretically you think the captain's quarters might be.
If you run into trouble, just gurgle.
I'm just following what my good friend Coffer told us.
Benj, before we leave, I pick up my lightstone.
Okay. I didn't figure you were going to leave it behind. I was waiting to hear you pick
it. No, but I definitely want to say it out loud in case anybody tries to call me out on not having it later.
You are aware that any stone you have becomes your lightstone if I'm next to it, right?
Sure, but can't guarantee that's going to happen all the time. Much rather have this one.
But I can definitely guarantee that one will stop working.
Eventually. But I figure by then you'll be dead.
It winks out.
Well, shut.
Darkness equals death here in the depths.
Carbon, I just want you to know you're an ass.
That is true.
Continuing
it becomes
on.
Light again.
It's super dark in here without that. Like, you can, like, it is so dark in here that you can feel the darkness pressing in on you. Like, it is really dark.
Are you sure that's not just the several tons of water that I'm under?
I mean, you know, 70 feet is several atmospheres of pressure, yes.
I pick up a silver coin, blow onto it into the light, and I throw it at you.
I mean, see, I was more expecting the strange pressing against you as Malagar swinging close.
No, he would know it. I'm actually not wearing anything other than my equipment right now.
Malagar always asks for permission first.
So you press inward through the hull, and you can hear it as your companions are picking up coins. You can hear it kind of shift, and the just faintly creak underwater as you go through it. And you come to a restriction in the wreck, because when it cracked, it like took one of the hallways of the ship and kind of mashed it in half. So a rather claustrophobic 5-foot by 5-foot hallway on a ship is now a extremely claustrophobic 5-foot by 2-foot sliver of space for you to push through on a ship. There's certainly no way the dragon could have gotten in here.
Well, I think I might be able to wiggle through there. Here, let me give it a try. And I'll swim up and kind of inch my way through.
Make me an I inch my way through check.
Sure, I'll give you an acrobatics to not touch any of the delicately balanced wood. I'm going to giving you a 16.
Okay. The dice are surely with you guys tonight. So you move through, and you notice that the barnacles are certainly, they have little sharp edges, they have little feathery gills that stick out, and they kind of sift through the water with them. And the edges of them would be very sharp were you to touch them with your flesh.
Damn those sharp gills.
Well, not the gills, but the shells around them. And you move through into the hallway beyond, which opens up a little bit, and you can see doors, which have all been kind of cracked and loose. And you see kind of a larger, more ornate door at the end of this particular hallway that roughly corresponds to where Kafra thought the captain's quarters might be.
All right, so I'm going to turn back around to face kind of the wreckage and say, all right, Corbin, Malagar, can you hear me?
Yes.
Kafra is certainly right about this. Does seem like there might be something back here. Definitely a fancy door, but it's going to be a mite tight squeeze to get in and out here.
I'll give it a try. Give you an athletics check.
Okay. Actually, no, it'd be an acrobatics check.
Okay, fair enough.
Is I know you're not.
I have a 5.
On this side of the wreckage that I could use to maybe like prop it up.
You could break loose a board from the wall and try to like use it to mash the opening wider, like break off some of the wood to make the opening wider. If you do that...
No, I feel like I want to put something in to prevent it from accidentally collapsing while somebody is under it for any reason.
So the thing is that the planks of wood you might use to reinforce it
Are holding it up already.
Are already holding it up and also kind of waterlogged and worm-eaten. All right, so you have a five. So Corbin is kind of a big dude. Mm-hmm. And as you get through, this opening is smaller than Corbin is. And it's the barnacles scrape along your back, which causes an eerie kind of, especially in the wavering light of the lightstone, kind of an eerie green trailers of blood to enter the water, as you will take a little bit of damage, known as four. And also that part of one of the edges breaks off, which makes the opening a little wider, but when the wood breaks off, it kind of forms like a dust that swirls up in the water, making it a little hard to see right there.
Ow.
I'll, right there?
I'll be fine.
Do you need more help? I can come and join you.
Let's the two of us investigate now. We'll let you know.
Okay. By the way, barnacles have the largest penises in the animal kingdom relative to the overall body size.
I knew that was going to be on the show.
Huh.
I just thought you should know that.
I appreciate the information.
Malagar, it really is surprising the depths of your knowledge, you know that?
Depth is correct. Enjoy.
You need a lot of depth of knowledge to accommodate the rather large...
We head towards the fancy door.
Yep.
Joe, you may have a point of inspiration for rescuing us. So you head toward the large fancy door, and when you get there and push against it, you realize it is locked. Like you can feel it resist your push.
The ship's going down, Captain! Wait, let me lock my door. All right, now we're ready to sink. Good on you, Captain!
Do you think we might be able to force it?
There's no question about being able to force it. The question is how much damage we will do when we force it.
Do we care about the damage to the door?
Probably not.
All right.
Give me some assistance.
I'll prop
myself up and assist in the pushing of the door.
Where Coffer and I am, when they collapse the rest of the ship, we'll be safe, right? Or are we going to be trapped
as
well?
I mean, they'll be saving throws.
Oh. I have a 19.
Okay. Pop! You the lock actually stays engaged, but you break the wood of the rotting wood of the door and open it, and more of that kind of material goes floating up in the currents that are kind of shifting and changing with the light and as you move around in there. And you see a nicely appointed cabin. It's all tilted on its side at the moment, so all the furnishings have fallen to the floor, which was the side of it. And you see a chest in among all the furnishings that have fallen to the floor. You see a skeleton of kind of a large, powerful creature. It was something larger than human. But it's also been skeletonized as clean. And you see scattered in the furnishings that have collapsed on the side of the floor, you see various bits of ship's life, like you see a pewter mug, you see what looks to be a spyglass, though it looks like it's got stuff growing all over it, but you see kind of a weird shiny something under there. It's almost shiny like mercury. It looks weird in the light of the stone.
I examine it more closely.
All right, as you go up and look at it, you can see it is an air bubble about a foot long and about a foot wide and about 2 feet deep, and it's held around a series of about 8 books with all different colored spines, and they're different sizes, so it doesn't look like it's a set of anything.
Well, there's something you don't see every day.
What is causing the air bubble to have formed?
Nothing. It's just an air bubble around it. There's absolutely no reason it should be in this air bubble.
Do you think it'll pop if we touch it?
Let's examine the rest of the room before we think about that.
Okay.
Right, maybe? I don't know, magic?
Yeah, I'm right there with you.
So you see like rotting threads of clothes and what looked like bed sheets and a mattress that the minute you touch, they just kind of disintegrate. Mm-hmm. Or a minute current of water from you moving past touch them kind of disintegrate. So the room's starting to fill with kind of a dusty smear of fine particles.
Pidge, tell me about the windows in the captain's quarter.
There are two windows, but they have been mashed into the rock of the bottom.
Well, that's most unfortunate.
Yep, there were round portals on the what had, would have been the aft wall of the ship.
Do we have any other exits from this room?
Only the door you walk through.
I examine the chest.
All right. The chest is a metal chest. It looks like it's mostly rusted solid, though. The brass fittings are fine, but the rest of the chest is cool.
I pick
a
it
rusty
up and
mess.
Check.
All right, you, when you do, you can hear stuff shifting inside of it.
I look for any hidden exits or trapdoors or secret
okay.
holes.
Give unto me a roll. Or tell me your passive.
16.
Perception, right?
Yep.
Or is this investigation?
Either.
I'll use perception. I'm going to give you a 14.
Okay. You don't see any other exits from the room. However, while you are overlooking with the light stone on one side, out of the corner of your eye, you see the skeleton start to move.
I turn towards it.
All right. As you do, it kind of lurches up to some semblance of upright. Its head is kind of brushing the, or skull, is kind of brushing the ceiling, but it ducks a little bit as if it was very used to ducking through these low ceilings. And it swipes at you with one big hand.
I'm against undead. I don't...
I mean, that is known.
Unless it's a ghost that happens to be living in our place.
I don't understand why this ghost is different, but that's a thing. You want to roll initiative with me?
I will join you in this initiative roll.
Because... I don't know why.
Everything all right in there?
Just some undead. It's fine.
He's not wrong. He's a paladin of whatever that god is who hates the undead, you see.
I'm glad you're on the case, then. Enjoy. We'll be right out here. Let us know if we can help.
Could you go get Kafra? There's some weird air bubble in here that seems like magic.
Great. I'll be right back.
It should be noted that Kafra and I are currently competing to see who can stack the highest stack of silver coins.
Until it reaches up out of the water, perhaps?
Ooh, that would be a very convenient.
It would be.
All right, so are you rolling? Okay.
22.
22, you make it first.
All right.
This one.
So you said I'm kind of on the opposite side of the room then.
Yep.
Well, I'm going to brace my feet up onto the wall and give a push off and pull my short sword out as I go careening towards it through the water.
Okay. Since there's kind of this haze of particles in here, like as you push off the wall, like you leave a roiling trail of particles in your wake, you will attack with disadvantage because it's hard to see.
Well, that's unfortunate. Do I have something for this?
Yes, you roll 2d20s and take the lower.
I was hoping for something at least slightly better than that.
Well, if you wanted to, you could close your eyes and attack by rolling 2d20s
and taking the lower.
Ooh. Well, I have turned myself
behind your back, perhaps.
I have turned myself into a human harpoon, so
yes.
I think it's only right that I close my eyes while I do this. Wouldn't want to get any dust in them or anything.
Milk the disadvantage for all it's worth. I mean,
so I will not take the natural 20.
No. Oh.
Just roll another 20.
And well. Close. I've got a 12.
Okay.
Plus my to hit bonus.
It's got a lot of
a total
of
17.
It's got a lot of the same numbers as 20.
Okay. Great. That will hit.
Well done.
All right. That's going to be a d6 plus a d3. That's going to be 7 piercing damage.
Noted.
As I go careening across and hit him, I'm going to turn around and follow that up with a slash to his, or a pierce to his, I don't know, his brain parts.
Okay, his skull. You think the brain parts have long left the building.
And I'm still at a disadvantage for this one?
Like I said, it's hard to see in here with the film of particles.
Sure, that's when I'm going to give you a total of a 12 then.
That will miss. There are still scraps of armor around its body. And then it will go. It will try and hit Manny back. The skeleton lunges at you and misses Corbin, sorry.
I will pull out a javelin and I will attempt to stab the creature. I imagine my 9 will miss.
Your 9 will also miss. It's hard to see with, now that you've moved around, all the stuff in here that was sitting still for so many years that is now disintegrated scraps of cloth.
You can say it, Paige. It's fish poop. Lots and lots of fish poop.
It's actually not lots and lots of fish poop. If anything, it's invertebrate poop, but wafts up in here, and so it's really wrong. Hard to see. It's like almost being corrected. In a dusty or foggy environment.
Sure.
So, Manny.
Paige.
Yes.
Is it my turn?
Yes.
Okay. Seeing that Corbin's having a hard time hitting, I'm going to try and give him an advantage by trying to subdue the skeleton a little bit.
Okay.
Mostly making myself a distraction so that he can get a clear shot.
Okay. So you move around to the side so that it has its back pointed towards Corbin?
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough. It continues to focus on you.
Sure.
And tries to attack you again. It claws at you with its... it has a saber, and it swings at you. Does not seem discomforted by the water, but I have rolled a 3. So, Corbin, the skeleton seems somewhat distracted.
I have a 17.
That will hit.
As I stab my javelin into the creature, I summon forth the power of Kelimvor and release it into the creature.
Oh. The skeleton, the bones start to disassociate, drifting down to the floor of the ship, and a bright flash of energy drives the undead spirit that had been animating. Join us next week for a new adventure. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Feats and Fables. If you'd like to support us, please visit our Patreon at patreon.com/featsandfables. Or to delve deeper, visit our website at featsandfables.com. Our music is by Kevin MacLeod at incomptech.com. This is licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. This episode contained Fearless First, Heroic Age, Moonlight Hall, and Immersed. Please be sure to rate and review us on iTunes. It really does help.